Welcome to the Procreative Teaching Ministry of Reverend Charles Jibuno, the lead pastor of the Refiners Church. It is his vision to raise a generation of proof producers with an aim to reach the world with the power of God, one person at a time.
There is this statement that has been made, interestingly, by some very, very respected ministers of the gospel. People I respect, I revere, and I hold so dear. But like I always say, let a man's popularity or position not be the determinant of truth. Let the scripture be the determinant of truth. Now, this is what I heard. Amen. I heard it said that, I'm not calling names, some of you might have heard it, that you need money to complete your spiritual authority. That if you don't have money, the exercise of your authority spiritually will be hampered. Please, that is not true. Did you hear me? That is not true. There is nothing further from the lie than that. Do you need money? Yes. Do I need money? Yes. Hear me. Hello? Hear me. You need money to gain the respect of men. But money will not give you the respect of devils. You can have all the money you have in the world and can't cast out the youngest or the smallest demon. Am I communicating? Now, the truth is, you know, we have a tendency to clip messages and put the ones that we trend. So I've not listened to the message in full. But that particular statement is trending. And I feel I need to say something. Are we together? Does the church need money? Yes. Do you need money as an individual? Yes. Men will respect you when you have money. Take it or leave it. Men will not respect you without money. Hello. But demons don't give a hoot whether you have money. Money can buy anointing. And if we are not careful, the quest for money will erode us of spiritual authority. You see, if that statement is correct, then we need to understand how the apostles operated. Hello? We need to understand men like John the Baptist. Am I communicating? So let's not mix the two. Amen. We need money. But money does not take the place of spiritual authority. Money can be your undoing. So I just felt we should address that. I won't go into any further details on that matter. Are we good? You will get money. No, I'm serious. You will get money. You will prosper. But money will not own you. You see, the problem is when money owns you. Because the truth is, some of us have spiritual authority, but nobody will listen to you. And the Bible says the poor wise man. But let's not mistake it for the fact that when you have money, demons will answer you. They will beat nonsense out of you. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, I want to begin a series on following God's plan for your life. I'll be running it through the Wednesday services. Amen. And it's not out of the context of the kingdom we're discussing. As a matter of fact, as we move on, you come to understand its place in the kingdom. Are we good? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we've been looking at this text for some time now, and we've said it was Jesus's model of prayer. As a matter of fact, this came about when the disciples of Jesus asked that he teach them to pray. When you read Luke's version or Luke's rendition of the gospel, the disciples of Jesus came to him and said, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus gave us a model prayer. Amen. Now, when we say model prayer, it doesn't mean that you now go, our Father who art in heaven, or like one comic thing I saw 2 times 11. No. He showed us a pattern and a protocol for prayer. Is someone with me? So what we have as the Lord's Prayer is actually a protocol for prayer. Are we together? So your prayer begins with worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now the objective of every prayer is to foster relationship. That's why it says our Father. Okay? Now, in that protocol of prayer, or for prayer, he puts worship as priority. Hallowed be your name. And what comes next on our bucket list of requests is your kingdom come. Amen. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Before he now says, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. So, kingdom comes before our needs. Is someone with me? Hello. You know, he rounds it up in Matthew from verse 32 of Matthew 6, saying, 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So kingdom comes before our needs. Amen. One of the reasons many of us don't get the things we ask for is because we break the protocol of prayer. Are we together? Are we together? You're looking at me strange. Amen. Now, it gets more interesting. I'm not talking of prayer, but I don't know why I felt led to talk a little more about the protocol. It gets more interesting. Hello. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Then he says, give us this day our and, oh my God. So God will meet your needs whether you ask for mercy or not. Jesus said you should ask for what? Your kingdom come, your will be done, then give us, before you say forgive us. Which one comes first? Because he was trying to teach us relationship. Hello. He was trying to show us that God does not give you based on your performance, but based on relationship. So even in your error, he will still give you your daily bread. Am I saying you should now be sinning? No. Are we together? Amen. Before he says, deliver us from the evil one. So you see, forgiveness comes before deliverance. Where there is no forgiveness and confession of sin, there can't be deliverance. So it's a pattern. Hallelujah. Can I move on now? So he taught us to pray, your kingdom come. Now, in praying that the kingdom of God will come, he also taught us to pray, your will be done. Amen. Are we still together? Praise the Lord. That is to say, the kingdom of God cannot come where the will of God is not being done. Amen. Now, it is important we also understand this from a personal standpoint. Hello. So, the kingdom of God cannot come in your life or in my life until the will of God is being done. Are we together? Until the will of God has or finds full expression in our lives. Praise the Lord. So what really is the will of God? Amen. You know, we talk about the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. The simplest way to put it is what God wants for you as an individual. Are we together? The will of God has to do with what God wants for you as an individual. The purpose for which he has created you and birthed you into this world. Is someone with me? Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Amen. Now, not all of us have been called to be prophets to the nations. But the point I'm trying to make is that every one of us has a specific purpose for which we were born. Praise the Lord. The Bible says we were formed, we were shaped in line with that purpose. I've met a couple of people who would tell me, oh, the call of God is upon my life. Amen. I know God wants to use me in ministry. And by the time I spend a little while with the person, I know the person does not have a single ministry bone. Amen. Because you see, you are shaped according to your purpose. Hello. So when I look at that individual and I see the things that should make him or her suitable for ministry are completely lacking, and you say, no, this person has missed it. Am I communicating? So each and every one of us who is seated here, you were shaped specifically for a specific purpose and to accomplish a specific task. And if we look at ourselves, we are different. Our habits are different. Our strengths are different. Our capacities are different. Our desires are different. Talk to me. Now, there are some of us who cannot sit in one place. Talk to me. 2 hours, you won't kill them. But there are some of us who can stay in one place, locked up in one room for weeks. Now, if you understand about ministry, which one of them do you think is better suited for ministry? Sorry? The one who can sit down, who can separate himself. Praise the Lord. So, it's the same thing. Amen. So your strengths, your weaknesses, your inclinations, your desires were all put in you because of God's plan and God's purpose for your life. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 to 17. Amen. Ephesians 5 15 to 17. Okay, it says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but what? As wise. Amen. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now let's look at verse 6, 17. He said, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. So it's clear from that scripture that as a believer, you can live like a fool. And what does the Bible define, call living like a fool? Living without the knowledge of God's will for your life. Is someone with me? When you go about life completely oblivious to what God's will is for your life, the Bible calls that kind of living, living like a fool. Are we together? You will not live foolishly in Jesus' name. So give me the Good News version. Hallelujah. We'll look at Good News and then maybe Amplified Classic. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15, Good News. So it says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like ignorant people, but like wise people. Make good use of every opportunity you have, because these are evil days. Now look at verse 17. He said, don't be fools. Hello? Don't be, but what? Amen. Remember we said the will of God is what God wants from you. So he said you must try to find out what God wants you to do. So let's just keep our fingers on that verse 17 of Good News, and let's go to the Amplified Classic Edition, then we'll come back to that statement. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Go back to verse 15, please. Okay. He said, look carefully then how you walk, live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as sensible, intelligent people. Now, that verse says a lot. Amen. One of the reasons we struggle, one of the reasons many of us don't make the kind of progress we should make as God intended, is that we are not purposeful in living. We do hit and miss. Talk to me. You try this one today. If it not work, you move to the next one. Amen. Verse 16. Next verse, please. It says, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Now look at verse 17. He said, therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Amen. So concerning God's will, God does not want us to be vague. Somehow, I know God has something, he wants me to do something. No, that's not to live wisely. Praise the Lord. He says, you need to know exactly why you are here. You need to know exactly what God wants from you. Now, coming back to the Good News translation, he says that we have to find it out. Praise the Lord. So one of the reasons we really don't have the knowledge, the complete knowledge of God's will for our life, is because we don't take time to search it out. So he says we are to find out what God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Glory to God. Now, in finding out what God wants to do with your life or through your life, or finding out the will of God, one of the things you need to understand is that God has a detailed plan for your life. Should I repeat myself? Should I? Okay, I say part of finding out what the will of God is for your life is to understand that God has a detailed plan, not just for the totality of your life, but for every stage of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And in the next few weeks or so, that's what we're going to be dealing with. Okay? So God has a very detailed plan for your life. Amen. 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 Now, you know, it's easy to assume you know the meaning of something. If I say plan, literally all of us have an idea. But I just decided to check up that word, and I will tell you that the meaning of that word plan blessed me. Hello? It gave me greater impetus to pursue the plan of God for my life. It showed me why I cannot be careless with it. Now, a plan is a detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. That's the definition I got. Sure, I got two definitions and I'm going to give them to you. A plan is what? A detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. The second definition says, it is a method of achieving something that you have worked out in detail beforehand. This is the one I love the most. Amen. A plan is what? A method. A method for achieving something that you have worked out in detail beforehand. Praise the Lord. So when God is talking about his plan for your life, what is he saying? I have a method. Amen. To achieve my purpose for your life. And I've taken the time to work out the details. Are we together? The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, God speaking, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Please, can we have the NIV up? Jeremiah 29:11, New International Version. Okay. He said, for I know what? The plans. What did we say plan is? A method for achieving something. But what makes it a unique method? You have worked out the details beforehand. You have covered all the bases. Am I communicating? You have taken into consideration everything that could go wrong. Is someone with me? So God says, I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to do what? Prosper you. Amen. And not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope on the future. You see, most times when we're talking about the will of God, the purpose of God for life, many times we are scared. You say, what if what God gives me I don't like? But listen to God. He said, my plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. You hear somebody say, if God gives me a wife or give me a husband, are you sure I will love that person? Who created you? The one you chose for yourself, where are you there now? Even Adam. Are we together? So he said, my plans are, number one, to prosper you. They will never bring you harm. They will give you the kind of future you desire. Amen. Are we together? So God has a plan. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Acts 15, verse 18, in the King James Version, the Bible says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. God says that he declares things to come even before they happen. Am I communicating? So God knows the future, knows everything that will happen in the future. Amen. Then he works it into his plan for your life. Maybe this will help somebody. Some time ago, I was listening to Mike Murdock. How many of you know Mike Murdock? Wisdom. Okay, the wisdom man. And, you know, he was talking about, teaching about the Holy Spirit. And he talked about something that happened in his life. He says when he was in college, you know, the university, he was dating this particular girl. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him, break the relationship. He said, break this relationship. So he broke the relationship. But he was so heartbroken, he couldn't handle it. After a little while, he went back to the relationship. They ultimately got married. Hello? They ultimately got married. You say, ah, he didn't hear God, right? But guess what? 15 years later, they divorced. And that divorce was mercy. That divorce wrecked him. He said as he was walking down the steps of the court, he said the Holy Spirit told him, I warned you 15 years ago. I knew this 15 years. I wanted to spare you this. Am I communicating? Amen. The other day we were talking about, I think there was a question I was asked that had to do with, what would they call this thing? Pre-election. You know, the Bible says that, you see, pre-election or foreknowledge. Those he foreknew, he appointed to be some. I can't remember the scripture. Amen. And I was being asked a question. And I said, look, you need to understand the way God operates. Amen. Because there's a tendency to think that, okay, so God just selected the people that will get born again. They say those he foreknew, he appointed or he predetermined to be conformed to the image of his son. No, this is how God works. God knows who will reject him 200 years time. He won't take your free will. He knows who will accept him. He knows who will reject him. And he makes his plan with that foreknowledge. Am I communicating? He knows those who will be conformed to the image of his son, even from the foundations of the earth. He knows those who will follow him well and those who will not be serious, even before they are born. So he now puts his plans and his purposes in line with those ones who he knows will fulfill it. Am I communicating? Yes, sir. Amen. So the plan of God takes into account every aspect and every detail of your life. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 139 verse 16. Psalm 139 verse 16. New Living Translation, please. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? Okay. You see, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was what laid out before a single day had passed. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Every moment was laid out. On that way, it was spelled out. So God knows, hello, what you'll be doing when you get up, but you don't know. He knows what will happen from here till your house. Do you know it? So God takes all of that into consideration. The easy to read version says, in your book you wrote all about the days planned for me before any of them had happened. So there's a plan for today, a plan for yesterday, a plan for next week. There's a plan for 2025. There was a plan for 2024. Are we together? Praise the Lord. He knows, you see, that plan includes what you are required to do at every point of your life and how to do it. Is someone with me? And that's why those who are able to follow the plan of God, they succeed. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Please, easy Bible. It says there is a right time for everything. Hello. You see, everything that we do on earth has a proper time. There is what? A right time for, and everything we have to do on earth has what? There's a proper time to marry. Hello? A proper time to have children. God has worked all these things into place. Now, that time is determined by who? By God. Because he sees the future. Praise the Lord. Our struggles are the result of working outside of God's time. He makes all things what? In his, not your time. Many times we are praying for things that are outside of God's timing, or even completely outside of God's plan. Are we together? So quickly give me Ecclesiastes 3:1. You give me the good news, then we'll run to verse 11. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Am I coming across? So there's a proper time. You see, when you can follow God's plan, hello, your business will do better. Because there are days you will get up, you are running somewhere, and God will say, sit down. Don't go now. You see, but they gave me 9 o'clock appointment. And God said, no, wait till 12. Listen, have you been in instances where you are given an appointment and you woke up but you just felt a nudging to wait back? But you say, no, I have to keep my word. I have to keep to the appointment. Then you rush. You get there. It's by the time you get there, the person is telling you, sorry, I cannot come. I will come 2 hours or 3 hours later. How many of you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Amen. Now look at that. Good news. It says, everything that happens in this world happens what? So you can't push it, you can't force it. Hallelujah. Amen. There are times we are praying, trying to force the hand of God. It won't move. I was on Sunday, I was privileged to speak in one of the four square churches. That's what's not around. And I was telling them, you see, at times we just hammer delay. The question is, whose time? You see, I'm being delayed. Is it your time or God's time? Because he makes all things beautiful in his time. So he can only talk about a delay when his time has passed. But when it has not entered his time, you are calculating delay because you are calculating on the basis of what? Your time. So he says everything happens at what time? The time that God has chosen. Give me verse 11, the same good news. He has set what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is that detailed in his plan for your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This brings to mind an account in scripture. You know, David went to war. After he was crowned king, the Philistines heard about it and they came against him. And he was smart enough to ask God, what do I do? And God said, Go. Go against them, you will come against them. He defeated them. Hello. Then they came again. You know what most of us would do? That old system work. Let's try it again. But David went back to God and said, do I go as I went before? What did God say to him? He said, don't go. Stay by the mulberry trees. Hide there. Don't move. Stay until you hear the sound of marching on top of the trees. He said, after those footsteps has passed, you can now move. Amen. Can you imagine David moving before the footsteps? Many times we go ahead of God. He said, wait till I've gone ahead of you and made all the crooked places straight. So he stayed back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It gets even more interesting. You know, this one, when the Holy Spirit told me, wow, my mind was just... God's plan for your life, please hear me. God's plan for your life takes into account the details of every error you will make. Hallelujah. He sees the end from the... Before he called you, he knew you would mess up. He knew at what point you will mess up. He knew how many times you will mess up. Then he phantomed it into his plan. Listen. You're looking at me strangely. The God who the Bible tells us planned our redemption before the foundations of the earth. Revelation 13 verse 8. He said he planned our redemption before the foundation of the earth. He said Jesus was slain, not when he went to the cross, but right before the foundations of the earth. Now understand this. Listen, God said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness. He knew the implication of that statement. They will fall. Adam's fall didn't take God by surprise. From the moment he said, he thought it in his heart to make man in his own image and likeness. Oh, they are going to fall. And because they are going to fall, I'm going to put the plan in motion to redeem them. So while he was saying, let us make man in our own image and likeness, he turned to Jesus and said, you know that you are going to die for them. We have not yet been created, though. Then Jesus turns to the Holy Spirit and says, you know that it is going to be written that it is through the eternal spirit that I made the sacrifice. So Holy Spirit, will you be there when I need you? So all that was worked in before man was created. Now if God can be that detailed to work our redemption into his program even before he created us, do you think that same God will not work in your errors into the plan of God for your life? Hallelujah. So all of it has been put into the package. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If this doesn't bless you, it blesses me. Because I know I've made some mistakes. There are times when I sit down and I say, God, hey, I don't fail. This thing you asked me to do, I've messed up. Can never be done. But I remind myself of one thing. He knew who I was before he chose me. He knows my strengths. He knows my failures. He knows my shortcomings. And from the scriptures, I understand that he finishes the work before he goes to start it. Amen. And that's what it means by predestination. He sets the destination, then goes to the very beginning, which means even before I was born, Refiners Church as a ministry has been completed. He has put in place everything I need or we need to fulfill his plan. Then he now went to look for one, I don't even know what to use to describe myself, one foolish boy, and says, okay, you see, I've finished the whole work. Hello, will you be willing to be my anchorman? Will you be willing to be the one who will carry this vision? And I'm saying, like Jeremiah, but I'm a child. I can't speak. Like Moses, I'm a stammerer. Send somebody else. And he says, don't worry, I've taken care of all of that. So every time I feel unworthy, I remind myself, I'm not the one doing it. He finished it. Every time somebody walks out of that door and says, we are not doing it again, I remind myself, it was finished before he started. He has taken into account every failure, every shortcoming, every time you will mess up, every time you will fail him. So pick up yourself. Amen. Amen. Now, moving on, there are a couple of things. Three, four things I want to drop with you very quickly before we round up. Praise the Lord. That tell us or help us to understand the nature of this plan. Number one, hallelujah. Amen. I just preached to myself. My sermon today, that part I preached myself. It might not be for you, but I know it's for me. Amen. Oh, I felt discouraged. I felt like I'm not doing again. Amen. But I know it's finished. He knew that I would get to those points when I said, I'm not doing again. Hello? And he has worked it into the plan. My job is just to follow. Follow me, and I will. My job is follow. Your job is follow. It is in following that you are made. The reason we are not being made is we are not following. So he said, follow me. So number one, the plan that God has for you has to be discovered. Amen. The plan that God has for you has to be discovered. It is discovered by diligent search. So it's not something you just pick up by the wayside. It's not a thought that comes to your head. It's not an idea you conjure up. It's not something I will prophesy to you or teach you. You say, as I see, maybe I'm called. No. There are no maybes. Hallelujah. It has to be discovered. Which means if you are going to walk in God's plan for your life, you must be ready to sit with him until you discover it. Am I communicating? God's plan for your life in 2025, you are responsible to discover it. I wish I could teach you. See, the most we can do is to teach you how to follow it. Guide you on a path to discover it. But none of us can tell you God's plan for your life. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, give me good news. We'll read 11 to 13 quickly in the Good News Bible. Can we read together? One, two, go. Hold on. Read again. Says who?
Says God.
I. So your pastor doesn't know it. No prophet knows it. I alone. So if you don't come to me, you can't find it. Amen. Say, plans to bring you prosperity are not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Verse 12. He said, then you will call to me. You will come and pray to me, and I will. So God wants to show you that plan. Hello. Now you say, but I've been praying. I've prayed before. God, show me your plan. Let me show you why we don't get it. Give me verse 13. Verse 13, please. You will. And you will. Why? So if I don't seek him with all my heart, I won't find him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number two. The plan of God for your life is specific to the individual. The plan of God for every life is specific to the individual. Amen.
Amen.
So what I mean by that is the plan that God has for my sister, for example, is unique and specific to her. Her twin, if she has a twin, let's assume she's a twin. Her twin cannot use that plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we together? So it cannot be duplicated. It is specific, it's unique. Amen. Now, there's a tendency a number of us have, and that tendency is this. That when you find somebody who is successful, want to follow the person, right? Want to do what the person does. It's good. Amen. Where you are learning principles. There are specific principles that make for success. But this is the part I'm trying to say. Now, if I'm successful by following the plan of God for my life, amen, you can never attain my success or your success trying to follow that plan that I have for my life, that God gave me. Am I communicating? The only way you can reach your success is by following the plan that God has for your life. Amen. The plan I'm following will take me to my destination. But it will never take you to your destination. So no matter how fast you run, or how well you run with my plan, you will never get to where you ought to go. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen. The race that is set before us. So there is a race that has been set before each and every one of us. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. And the cause of that race is what? Specific and unique to the individual. So running on that person's race will never take you to your destination. It will not even take you to his destination, because it's not your destination. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I can't remember who said, whether it was Miles Monroe or Mike Murdock, but it's commonly said that no matter how much you try to be like on that person, the best you can do is be number two. You can never be number one. Amen. You can never beat me at being me. The best you can be is a perfect clone. A good clone. Are we together? So there's a race that has been set before each and every one of us. Amen. A course that is specific and unique to each other or each individual. Running another person's race, no matter how fast you run, can never get you to the destination God has appointed for you. Now, when we're talking about this race is a spiritual race that has to do with the divine destiny God has appointed for you to fulfill. Amen. So each one of us has a destiny. Destination. The race is the path it takes to fulfilling that destiny. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So every one of us has a divine destiny that we are required, or a race to run. Okay? And not just run it, but to finish it. So when Paul says, or the writer of the Hebrews says, there's a race that has been set before us, we are to run that race, but we are also required to finish it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. Amen. It says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit whispered into my ears. The truth is, when I first put down that scripture, I put down only verse 7. But the Holy Spirit said to me that rewards are going to be based on whether you finish your race. There is no crown if you don't finish your race. I remember I was talking with some friends. We're all in the same workforce, growing up as young Christians, and sometime we met in Lagos, and I told them that my only desire is to finish my race. And they were arguing with me. They told me the poor finished his race. They were going, and I told them, well, me, I know I want to finish my race. I have stronger resolve now. There is no crown. Paul said, I have finished the race, therefore a crown is laid up for me. That means if you don't finish it, no crown. May you not get to heaven crownless. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. This race is not a competition. You're not running against anybody. See, it's not a race for speed. Am I communicating? No. In a sprint, you don't say, run with patience. If you run with patience, you'll be at the back. Hello? It's a marathon. So it's not a race against anyone. You are racing against yourself. Is someone with me? You are racing against the oppositions and the obstacles that the enemy will throw at you against fulfilling that destiny. It's a marathon. So there are times you will fall on the ground, you will pick yourself up and continue to run. Amen. A righteous man may fall 7 times, or may fall and 7 times he gets up. It's not over till you say it's over. Am I communicating? So he says, you will run with patience, with endurance. There are times the race will be unpleasant. There are times you ask yourself, who sent me this race? But you keep running. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So each person has his appointed race, and it's a race that leads to the fulfillment of his destiny and purpose. If that is the case, that means the path each person will take to the destiny will be different. Talk to me. And if the path will be different, the requirements might be slightly different. That means the plan will be different. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lastly, following God's plan is going to demand discipline. It's going to what? Demand discipline. There are many gifted people. Let me put it this way. I've discovered that the most gifted people are not the most successful. Why? Lack of discipline. Hello? Lack of discipline. Gifted people can do what the ungifted. You know, the ungifted might take 5-6 hours to do what the gifted will do in 5 minutes. So they tend to get careless. Hello? They can open their Bible like this and preach. And you wonder if the man is the owner of all the Bible schools. Now, what that can do to you is that you get careless. Amen. But if you are going to fulfill and successfully follow God's plan for your life, you are going to learn discipline. You are going to learn to commit to personal discipline. I'll give you 2 scriptures and we'll pray. Has this helped anybody? Praise the Lord. This is my way of introduction. Okay? So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 24 to 27. You know, it takes discipline to fall and get up. Talk to me. So Paul says, do you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? What has he gone to say? He said, run in such a way that what? So there is a way you will run your race and still not get the prize. So he says, if you are going to get the prize, you must what? Run in a particular way. He said, everyone who competes for the prize is what? Temperate in all things. Is self-controlled. Amen. Is self-controlled. I told myself some time back. Amen. I just did some little work and we say, wow, powerful, too much. You're preaching, you're teaching. And I asked myself a question. If this little one can have this impact, if I do more, shouldn't the impact be more? I said, so I need to work harder. I need to pray harder. I need to fast harder. How many of you remember what I said my goal this year is? Number one, personal self-improvement. So, he says what? Run in such a way. Okay, he says everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Give me Passion Translation or some other newer translation. Hurry up. I want to keep time. He says a true athlete will be in practicing. Hello. Constant. Please take me back. Discipline. It's painful to say, but Christians, tongue-talking Christians, are the most undisciplined people. We use faith to cover indiscipline. Won't go far. Can I have New King James, please? I don't want to see my face now. Amen. So, you see, they are temperate in all things. Now, they do this to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Verse 26. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Say, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. 27. But what? Did he say I'm fighting the devil? How many of you remember when I told you, or is it when we're fasting? I said that your greatest enemy is who? Is yourself. Many of you, the devil has not tempted you. Stop telling lies on him. He has not neared you. He won't waste time to tempt you yet. Because if you are not going anywhere, why is he tempting you? He looks for big people to tempt. Amen. He said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Discipline. Amen. Waking up at the appropriate time. The Holy Spirit whispered to me inside the office. I will share it with you because it will help somebody. He said, I want you to set a specific number of hours you will pray a day. Not just pray. Set a specific number of hours you will study the Bible. Set a specific number of hours you will do other things. As a matter of fact, he demanded that I drop a timetable. You know the way we used to have timetable when we are reading in school? He said, drop a timetable. This day, leadership. This day, administration. This day, this. Because you see, you know what will happen? Until you do that, it will always be a desire in your heart that will never be fulfilled. He said, discipline my body. Amen. I remember there was a course in my second year, parasitology. I had to write an exam. And midway into preparing for it was a professional exam. The lecturer was a Scotswoman. She traveled. She left Nigeria. No lecturer to help us finish it. I said, don't forget that day. I took an entire textbook and read it overnight. Hello? I sat in ONG, University of Benin Teaching Hospital, UBTH, and I jacked that textbook all through the night. Where is that human being? If I apply that kind of dedication and commitment to ministry, we'll go further than that. I discipline myself. Quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 2, sorry. Give it to me from verse 1 to 5. Am I talking to somebody? Lift up your hand and say, no more laziness. I will fulfill God's purpose for my life. I'll pay whatever price that needs to be paid to accomplish it. He said, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That means you can be weak in the grace. Hello. Verse 2. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3. You therefore must, as what? As discipline. Amen. Too many of us are civilians in the kingdom. So you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now look at that. He said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Verse 5, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. No one who engages in warfare does what? Entangles himself in civilian matters. If you are going to fulfill your destiny, you must know what are civilian matters as it relates to your destiny. You can't pursue what everybody is pursuing. You can't like what everybody likes. Want what everybody wants. Your destiny should bring about a separation. Hello? How many of you know that Cristiano Ronaldo has not a single tattoo? Does not drink wine. Does not drink Coca-Cola. He does not drink any soft drink. Water and nuts. With all the money he has, he won't enter Domino's and Chatter Pizza. Why? His desire, his goal for life, where he's going, has separated him. Has forced upon him a certain discipline. So it's not whether he can afford it. It's whether his destiny can afford it. So when you want to fulfill God's plan and God's purpose for your life, it's not whether you can afford it. The question is, can your destiny afford it? Say, does he entangle himself? Say, lay aside every weight. So whatever will not allow you run, you have the responsibility to do what? Cut it off. And that includes friends. 20 friends don't play together 20 years. If you are still holding on to some people that are not going where you are going, you will never get to where you are going. Can two walk together? Same thing again. He said, two cannot walk together unless they set the direction. I'm brutal with friendship. Oh, no. I'm very brutal. Mommy, she ask her. We've been married for many years. Ask her many friends. You will count them here. You can count my friends on my palm. Some were friends yesterday. They are no longer friends today. Hello? Friendship for me is determined by destiny. Association is determined by destiny, not by feelings. So, pick your friends based on where you are going. Not based on how you feel. Let's rise to our feet. Let's pray. Has God spoken to someone tonight?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You are getting up very slowly. Do you want to pray? Do we want to pray? Amen. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Just give me that scripture. We are praying from there. You will fulfill your destiny. You will achieve greatness beyond your expectation. I have news for somebody. It's not too late to start. In case you are saying, I've missed a lot. I've not been following it. Look at where I am. It's not too late. Remember what I said? He has taken into account your failures. Up to the fact that you have not followed it all this while, he has taken it into consideration and he has worked it into his plan. So it's not too late to rise up, pick up yourself and run with that plan. Because that's the only way your life will not be a waste on the earth. Amen. He said, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I will tell you a little more about that next time we meet. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the first obstacle everyone has is in his life. He's not talking of the devil now. Amen. So I want you to pray for yourself. What are the weights? A weight can be laid aside. That means it's something you are carrying. So you're going to pray and ask God that every habit, every tendency you have, whatever it is that is in your life that is not allowing you run this race that God has set before you, everything within your personality, everything you have picked along the way, everyone you've brought into your life, everything you've laid hands on that you should not have laid hands on, whatever it is that you have brought together that is now becoming the obstacle to fulfilling your destiny, that has become the obstacle for you to run the course that God has set before you, that has become the barrier to you being all that God has ordained for you, I want you to pray and ask God to separate you from them.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you were blessed. For inquiries, please reach us on our helpline 090-4822-4137. We are located at SCC Road, adjacent Detims Plaza, Ushafa, Abuja.